Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Finding an affordable apartment in California's largest cities can be financially painful. Studios are pretty much as small as you can get, with an average statewide rent of around $1,800 a month, according to Zillow. In Sacramento, the average rent for a studio runs roughly $1,400 a month. But now, even smaller units are taking shape in the capital city. Micro-apartments have become more common in larger cities like San Francisco, but they're also popping up in Sacramento as a tool to curb a housing shortage that is driving up rent. CAP Radio reporter Chris Nichols covers housing affordability and got a look at these micro-apartments as well as the challenges this type of housing is running up against. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Vicky. It's good to be with you.
Okay, so what makes a micro-apartment a micro-apartment? Are there actually rules for this?
Well, there are some rules. Sacramento City Code, for example, it requires a minimum of 150 square feet of living space in what the city calls efficiency units, which is just another term for micro apartments. The units must also provide a kitchen and a bathroom and house no more than two people, according to the code.
So I'm trying to visualize this. Is it comparable to like a basic hotel room?
I think that's a really good comparison. They're bare bones. They're small. I was able to visit one of the 58 micro apartments at Sonrisa. That's a downtown Sacramento, the newest micro housing community in downtown Sacramento, two blocks from the state capitol. Cesar LeVay lives in one of the apartments. He's 20 years old. He's a Sacramento native. He works tailoring suits. And he was nice enough to take me on a tour of his micro apartment.
So if I have friends over, like a good group of people, five plus, whatever, the bed goes up and you can go ahead and put it up and there's a couch there. So that gives me a little bit much like a living space, something like that. And then, of course, there's a bunch of things that I keep in mind. Like I have a foldable table. My chair will roll underneath my desk if I need it to.
LeVay, in that clip, was referencing his Murphy bed, which folds up into the wall and transforms into a couch. That's the case in all the apartments at Sonrisa. And each unit also comes with some built-in lighting and shelving around the bed, which also saves some space.
Even though you toured toward Sonrisa, it's the recent microhousing project, but it's not the first one. That title actually belongs to a Midtown development. Tell us about it.
That's right, Vicky. Sacramento's first microhousing community opened in 2019. It's called 19J, and it's the 11-story high-rise at 19th and J Streets. It includes 175 units, and about 80% of those are micro apartments, with the average size of about 415 square feet. So that's a little bit larger than those at Sonrisa. The Midtown project was developed by Nikki Mohana, and she spoke with KVIE in 2020 about the need to find creative solutions to Sacramento's affordable housing crisis.
I believe that we have this opportunity and a responsibility as well to take the resources that we have and do better with it and be more innovative and be more creative. Because if we don't do that, our community is not going to succeed in the long run. And so this is really a long-term approach. And I think we have to get rid of that short-term mentality of, you know, flipping an asset for a profit. We have to look at what is this asset going to do for the community in the long run? Because ultimately, that impacts all of us. And, you know, I really see that the economic viability of our city is based upon those types of philosophies.
Now, Mohana's project was not only first, it was also privately financed, which sets it apart from Sonrisa, which received more than $30 million in government subsidies.
When it comes down to dollars, what's the rent like compared to the average rent for an apartment in Sacramento? And are these micro apartments, are they open to anyone?
Well, the rent is definitely less at the micro apartments, hundreds of dollars less in most cases. LeVay, who we heard from a moment ago, pays a little more than $800 a month in rent for his small studio in downtown. That's about $1,000 below Sacramento's average apartment rent and still $600 below the average studio apartment rent. And on the question about who can live there, the Sonrisa project requires applicants to earn between 40 and 60% of the area's median income. LeVay told me he makes about $17.50 an hour as a tailor. Here he is again, talking about his decision to live at a micro apartment and the challenge of finding an affordable home.
It's not that nobody wants to have a big house and kids and things like that. It's that it's become so completely unaffordable and so far out of anybody else's reach that we literally just cannot touch it. That's like dreaming for touching the stars.
LaVey says he's fortunate to have the small apartment that he does, but he worries that a lot of people his age, his friends, his coworkers, can't afford the rent in Sacramento. And I think it's important to put this topic of affordability into context. LaVey is definitely not alone in struggling to find an affordable housing. So that's because Sacramento County has a shortfall of nearly 56,000 affordable homes, according to the California Housing Partnership.
And you mentioned that Sonrisa received government subsidies. So Sacramento is going to build more of these micro housing communities, or really any type of housing. It will need the support of local government. For years, our mayor, Daryl Steinberg, has called for more affordable housing. What does he have to say about micro units?
Well, Steinberg told our colleague, Mike Haggerty, in a recent Cap Radio interview that he thinks Sacramento needs more of this specific type of housing, given the high cost and the painstakingly long time it takes to build traditional affordable housing. In fact, Steinberg says he wants to see it mass produced to meet the overwhelming need across the state.
I am a huge fan of micro units and manufactured housing. I've been talking about this for a long time. You know, sometimes the problem in our society is we know one model. And it's a great model, by the way, for people who are lucky enough to get into the limited availability of affordable housing or supportive housing. But math is math. And where there is a $300,000-$500,000 a unit required subsidy to build a conventional quality apartment, we're not getting to enough people. And so the idea of being able to manufacture housing much more quickly and much less expensively should be a no-brainer. And that includes micro units, smaller units, even built conventionally, because obviously they are less expensive and therefore can rent for a lot less for people on limited income.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Cap Radio reporter Chris Nichols about how Sacramento is turning to micro apartments to ease the affordable housing crunch. So we have heard from supporters, the mayor just now, about how these could help with the housing crisis. But are there downsides to building more micro apartments? What do housing experts say?
Well, housing researchers say micro apartments can be one piece to solving the affordability puzzle. But they also say local government should make sure micro apartment communities maintain health, safety, and quality of life standards so that people aren't stuck in shoebox-sized homes. Here is Lakshmi Ramasubramanian, an urban planning professor at San Jose State.
We do have to think about how small is too small, because the way people use their home has changed over the past several years. It's amplified through the pandemic. People work from home.
Yeah, and a micro unit might work for a single person or perhaps a couple. But I mean, if you have a family, it doesn't work for everyone. This also isn't the only time California has had housing challenges. How did cities provide affordable housing for people in the past?
Well, historically, boarding houses and single room occupancy hotels offered even smaller spaces for people looking for cheap housing in urban areas all across California. But Ramasubramanian says those types of housing fell out of favor during the 20th century due to overcrowding and substandard conditions. Now, there are different points of view among experts. Some do not see the small size of today's micro apartments as a concern, especially considering today's dire lack of affordable homes. UC Davis law professor Chris Elmendorf researches California's housing crisis, and he says going small makes sense.
I don't see size as being a health or safety issue, right? Particularly when the alternative is a tent, right? We know that it's not safe to live in a tent on the street.
So when it comes to micro apartments, who's the ideal renter?
I think in some cases it might be the young renters who are just starting out, like LaVey. But I think these units are also an affordable option for older residents on a fixed income, maybe for single parents or for people with disabilities who need to access services near a downtown. Here is Danielle Foster. She heads the Capital Area Development Authority, the public agency that developed Sonrisa and opened it in March.
I think projects like this are critical to responding to the housing crisis on a variety of levels. I think we have a lot of 1- and 2-person households that are looking for affordable places to live, and it's really hard to do without a second income or a roommate.
Okay, so are micro apartments broadly getting the green light, or is there some opposition?
You know, I think they are facing the same challenges that traditional affordable housing faces, community opposition, and also a lack of public funding. Those are probably the two biggest roadblocks for these projects. When I spoke with Chris Elmendorf from UC Davis, he said neighborhood groups in San Francisco pushed back against these projects after several micro unit communities popped up in that city about a decade ago. And some criticized the housing as tech dorms for local tech workers. And Elmendorf said the projects also lost favor among some after a micro apartment complex was converted into a homeless shelter.
But is that shaping or impacting the demand for this type of housing? Like, what did you find at Sonrisa about people who want to live there?
Well, as we'll hear from Danielle Foster, I don't think it is shaping the demand. The demand is really strong. Foster, again, with the agency that developed this complex, she says demand has been and continues to be overwhelmingly strong for these 58 apartments, all of which quickly filled up.
We have a waiting list of over 860 households right now just for this location. And so we know there's a great need and a great demand for more housing of this type. And really, people are looking for a safe, quality, affordable place to live in the city of Sacramento.
Well, Chris, that's over tenfold. You know, before we go, when it comes to Cesar LeVay, who gave you a tour, what do they think about this massive waiting list, 860 households for 58 apartments, and how does it shape his future?
Yeah, and that number just really blew me away. I think it really made an impact on Cesar, too. He says that really long list reinforces how fortunate he is to have his small piece of Sacramento. He also told me that right now, at least, he's not able to save up for something larger and that he can't afford to leave his apartment anytime soon.
Chris, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Vicky.
That's Cap Radio reporter Chris Nichols talking about how Sacramento is turning to micro apartments to ease the affordable housing crunch. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.